Welcome to our service for the 24th of May 2020, the seventh week of Easter. My name is Max. I'm the church leader here in Bedhampton Parish in England. And you are welcome, whether this is your first time online with us, or whether you've been online with us before, or whether you come regularly to one of our church buildings. You're welcome as we celebrate and love our God together here. We continue today looking at the foundations of our Christian faith, asking the question today, why and how do we read the Bible? Later on, Polly will reflect on that in a short talk. And then following this, you can watch another video which goes into more detail about that. And if you want to, you'll be welcome to join us Wednesday night in our discussion group as we look at that subject and ask questions together. In addition to that this week, we're also praying every day at 9 a.m. for God's kingdom to come. That's because the archbishops have done this initiative again this year called Thy Kingdom Come. And so on Facebook, on YouTube, on our website, and indeed in a Zoom meeting, we will pray for God's kingdom to come. If you want to be part of that every morning at 9 a.m, then send me an email or go to our website to find out how to join in. But whether you can join in with us at that time or not, do pray every day this week for God's kingdom to come. Think about five people that you would love to know Jesus more and be praying for them. Again, more details are on our website. And on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m, I open the rector's virtual house as we have a cup of tea together via the internet. You grab a tea or coffee from your kitchen, I'll grab a tea or coffee from my kitchen, and we can catch up and see how each other's doing. So a group of us can join. Again, more details on the website as we come together for that. So that's Thy Kingdom Come. That's the rector's open house. And then there is Pentecost next Sunday. Pentecost is a massively important part of who we are as followers of Jesus, as he sends his Spirit to be with us. God himself engaging with you and me here, where we are, whether we are in our kitchen, whether we are in our garden, or whether we are in a church building. So why don't we have a bit of fun with that this week? Why don't you find something red? I want to get lots of pictures of people wearing red. Maybe put a hat on. Do I see a flame maybe on your head somehow? How are you going to work that out? If you're clever with a bit of video, crack on with that. Send me your pictures if you can of how you might celebrate Pentecost in all your red next Sunday. But of course, right now, what we're really here to do is to worship our God, to acknowledge that even during this time, he is with us. He's always with us. He's the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be tomorrow. So as we come, let us acknowledge that he's here. We invite him so that we might recognize he's already present with us. So let's take some time to be quiet and do that now. Holy Spirit, we know that were we not to praise you, the rocks would cry out. Nature itself sings your praise. And so as we worship you, wherever we are, whatever time we're doing this, we recognize your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us in all that we think, all that we say, and all that we do. Amen. As we go through our service today, as ever, some words may come up on the screen for you to join in with. Why don't you say them out loud? There is something special about worshiping our God out loud. So grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. Recorded in 2019 at the event for Thy Kingdom Come in Trafalgar Square, we're now going to worship using the song by Matt Redman, Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. We're gonna say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious. Say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams are abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, or run through the wilderness. Blessed be your name, your holy name. We come to that moment now where we just turn to our God and we ask for forgiveness. Some people wonder why we do this, but we do this because Jesus died for you and I, that we might be forgiven. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. He is holy, and yet he came. He sent Jesus, his son, for you and I, that we might be forgiven, that we turn away from our sin and turn towards him. So we come to that moment now, and we're going to use some words that you'll be familiar with if you come on a Sunday, and you may not be if you don't, but that's okay. We'll use these words together as we acknowledge that we make mistakes and we ask for our forgiveness. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. It means God came for you. Jesus stands there for you and I. So before we receive that forgiveness, let's take a moment to be quiet, to look back over the last few weeks, months, years even. And we look at our lives and where we've fallen short, we give them to Jesus. Let's be quiet as we do that. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say these words together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. One of the things that I love doing when we share communion together is to share the peace. As we share the peace, which is simply greeting one another in Jesus. As we shake hands or give a hug, we acknowledge that we come to Jesus as one family. I don't know about you, but I'm not a massively tactile person, but even I am finding that I'm missing the touch of other people, missing those hugs on a Sunday morning. So let's take some time now just to share the peace together and to bring to mind those who you would normally worship with. Or bring to mind those that you have not seen for a while. Those that you would share life with. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And also with you. Why don't you just pause the video now? Pick up the phone, speak to someone that you've not spoken to for a while. Just say, do you know, we were just sharing the peace in our online service and you came to mind. So pause now and then come back and enjoy the rest of the service when you've shared with someone else. Rosalind Hall now brings us our first reading.
So the reading comes from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 11 to 18, and I'm reading from the NLT version. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord, who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who believes on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Yes, they have. The message has gone throughout the earth, and the words to all the world.
Thank you, Rosalind. And now Susie brings us our second reading. And following on from this, Polly reflects on what it means to read the Bible.
2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 16. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Why and how do I read the Bible? I have to say, I really laughed when I saw the title Max had given me to speak on this week. Max knows that I only seem to have one sermon message. Jesus died on the cross, so we have a way to have a personal relationship with God. And we grow in our relationship with God by reading the Bible and getting to know more about him. So why do I read the Bible? I read it to learn more about God and to grow in my relationship with him. That's easy. Answered that question. When I was at Teacher Training College, I joined the Christian Union and I quickly found myself on the committee. As they were allocating roles, there were two roles I really didn't want at all. One was prayer coordinator and the other was Bible study coordinator. And although I didn't want either of the role, I really didn't want the Bible study coordinator. What happened next? You guessed it. I was appointed Bible study coordinator. Up until going to college, I'd never attended a house group or a Bible study group. And then here I was supposed to be preparing material for all of the house groups in the Christian Union. I started the task by reading the Bible more. And I have to say, Writing the Bible study material for the groups was a job I really got to love, and I felt so privileged to be able to share the scripture and open them for others and help them to try and understand God more. In my final year at college, I was in a church service one Sunday when a friend of mine, Martin, asked if I'd go on a mission to southern France with him during the Easter holidays. I leapt at the chance of going to southern France, but I had no money for the flight. I walked home from church that evening praying about it. The next day, an envelope popped through the door, and it contained the exact money I needed for the flight. Last week, when Vanda was talking to us about prayer, we had our discussion group on Wednesday, and we were talking about whether God ever answered our prayers. Well, that's one of mine. He certainly did answer. So in the Easter holidays, I flew to Aix-en-Provence and met a friend of Martin's called Mark Howe. And we went to Marseille together to become part of a team delivering a Bible to every house in Marseille. And I have to say, there were thousands of them. I don't know how many of those Bibles ever got read, but at least every resident of Marseille had access to the Bible. In fact, the Bible is so important in our country that at the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II, she was given a Bible along with the words, "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing which the world affords." And not only is the Bible valuable, it's also the most popular book in the whole world. If it was included in bestseller lists, it would top the chart week after week. It's also translated into more languages than any other book in the world. In fact, it's still being translated into languages today. The sister of a close friend of mine is a missionary in Papua New Guinea, and she's currently in the process of translating the Bible into Saymat for the indigenous population there. How wonderful it will be for these people to be able to read the Word of God in their own language. Some people have asked me, if there's a God, why doesn't he reveal himself? I would say he already has revealed himself. Look around you at creation. He reveals himself every day through the wonders of creation. In this time of lockdown, it's been good to have more time to appreciate the beauty all around us. Growing up on the Isle of Wight, I don't really think of Havant as being a seaside town. Yet over these past few weeks, I've really enjoyed walking down to the sea and along the beach at Southmoor. At high tide, I love hearing the waves crashing on the seashore. At low tide, I enjoy seeing all the birds wading and feeding. The colours around me seem brighter, the air cleaner, the birds are singing louder. What a wonderful creation we have. God is certainly revealing himself. And God also revealed himself through Jesus. And we find more about Jesus through reading the Bible. One of our readings earlier came from 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God." All scripture is God-breathed. Well, how can this be when the Bible is written by men? Well, the word Bible comes from the Latin Biblia Sacra, meaning holy books. But when I think of Bible, I also think of the French word bibliothèque, which means library. And indeed, the Bible is not just one book, but a library of books. 66 of them, to be precise. 39 books in what we call the Old Testament, and 27 in the New Testament. It was written in a period of over 1600 years and has at least 40 different authors. Those authors are kings, philosophers, fishermen, poets, statesmen, poor people, historians, doctors. And the Bible contains different types of writing: poetry, history, letters, prophecy. 100% written by humans, but also 100% inspired by God. How can this be? If I asked you who built St. Paul's Cathedral, I'm sure you would respond, "Sir Christopher Wren." He was the greatest architect of his time. And in 1674, at the age of 43, he started building St Paul's Cathedral. And for 36 years, he was the architect leading the project. The building was completed when Sir Christopher Wren was 79. He built St Paul's Cathedral without laying a single stone. And over the years, there were hundreds of stonemasons, carpenters, builders, all involved. But Sir Christopher Wren was the inspiration. And so it is with the Bible. There are many different writers, but one architect, God. So the Bible is a collection of books written by human authors, but inspired by God. So why do I read it? Well, I read the Bible every day, not because I'm extra holy, because as I said earlier, I want to grow in my relationship with God. Last week when Vanda spoke about prayer, we spoke in our discussion group about prayer being a conversation with God. And if you want to develop a relationship with someone, you need to talk to them. You also need to listen to them. Through reading the Bible, I can listen to God. It's a roadmap he's provided for us to follow. It's the instruction manual for life. And through reading the Bible, I deepen my relationship with him, get to know more about him, and find him speaking to me. So if why I read the Bible is to deepen my relationship with God, then how do I read the Bible? Well, firstly, I'd make sure you have a good modern translation. Whilst there's a real richness in the language of the King James Bible, it isn't how we speak today. And it can be hard to understand because the language isn't what we're used to. I usually read the New International Version. And indeed, this is the version we have as our pew Bibles here at Bedhampton. And the Bible we read is a translation from the original Greek, Hebrew and Aramaic. And some translations of it are literal, while others are paraphrased to make them more accessible. Since 2012, I've been using an app on my phone to read the Bible called the YouVersion. And incidentally, this app was designed by my friend Mark Howe, who I mentioned earlier when I spoke about delivering Bibles to every home in Marseille. The thing I love most about the app is having so many different versions of the Bible at my fingertips. The app contains 2,017 versions of the Bible in 1,418 languages. And when I'm reading the Bible, I sometimes find it helpful to read a passage in different versions. I've already mentioned 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. It's what it says in the NIV. In the Living Bible, the same passage says, "The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God, and it's useful to teach us what's true and to make us realise what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right." Or the Contemporary English Version, "Everything in the scripture is God's word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people, correcting them and showing them how to live." Or the Passion Translation, "Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper in the path of godliness." Or maybe the King James, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Maybe you'd prefer the Message. "Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way." Or the New Living Translation says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realise what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right." Even though all of these versions say the same thing, the language they use gives you a different nuance, which I find really helpful, particularly when I'm reading a passage that I'm struggling to understand. And whilst I have all of these versions at my fingertips in my app, if you don't have a smartphone or don't want to use an app, you can do the same thing by using a website like Bible Gateway. And when you're reading the Bible, I find it really helpful to have some notes to help you with your regular Bible reading. And there are lots available. For years, I used Scripture Union Bible Notes, but now I use the ones on my Bible app. And I'm currently reading through the Bible in 1 year. This gives you a few chapters to read every day, a bit of Psalms or Proverbs, some of the New Testament and some of the Old Testament. By the end of the year, through following this plan, you will have read the whole Bible. I remember the first time I tried to read the Bible. I thought, I'm going to start at the beginning and I'm going to read to the end. And I did start at the beginning and I did really well in Genesis and through Exodus. And then when I got to the book of Numbers and then Leviticus, I really struggled. And before long, I gave up. And then I felt really guilty that I'd given up. But you know, then I realised that the Bible's a collection of books and actually it doesn't matter what order I read them in. So I started to do a bit of the New Testament each day alongside the Old Testament. And then when I discovered the Bible in 1 year, it makes it even easier because the Bible readings are set out for you each day. And the Bible's a book you can read again and again. Even though I've read it many times, I find God speaks to me in different ways every time I read it. And now it's my giveaway time. When I spoke to you on Palm Sunday, I offered cross bookmarks that I'd been making. And I was really pleased to give those out to some of you who asked for them. Today we're talking about the Bible. So what am I going to offer you? Well, of course, I'm going to offer you a Bible. I have several different versions. And if you don't have a Bible and would like one, just contact Max and I will make sure it gets to you. I've also got the offer of two other books. There's the Explorer's Guide to the Bible by John Grayston. And on the back of it says, want to read the Bible but don't know where to start? Puzzled about how it all fits together? Explorer's Guide to the Bible will take you on a journey to get the big picture overview, move in closer and see where the different sections fit into the landscape. Zoom in for a look at each Bible book. Discover Jesus and God's plan of salvation at the centre. Grab your guide and get ready to explore a big picture overview. Or The Bible from Scratch by Simon Jenkins. It says here, for all who find the Bible a bit daunting, The Bible from Scratch could be just what's needed. It offers a lightning sketch of the Bible using easy to follow graphics and explains clearly and simply the essential meaning of every Bible book. It provides helpful hints for understanding what each biblical writer was aiming to get across to his readers. It introduces all the famous people and events in the Bible story. Lively, witty, and entertaining. It's the ideal starting point for all who want to get better acquainted with the world's best-selling book, but don't know where to start. I've got a couple of copies of each of these books that I'll give to the first people who ask Max for them. Don't be afraid to ask. If you think it would help you, then the books are yours. And as I finish today, I just want to turn back to the book of Romans. In Romans 10, as we heard earlier, it says, anyone who believes on the name of the Lord will never be put to shame. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. My prayer to you as I leave today is you will hear the message, you will take the time to read the Bible, and you'll grow in your relationship with God. May God bless you all.
Thank you so much for that, Polly. So why don't you take those words that Polly just said and reflect upon those? And as I said, you can watch a follow-on video from here afterwards. There'll be a link to it at the end. And then if you want to, join us on Wednesday for that discussion group. Again, send me an email, give me a phone call, or go to the website to find out how to be part of that. One of the things we read in this book, the Bible, is that God is keen to hear from us. Indeed, Jesus tells us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, doesn't he? And we read all over that God is constantly trying to communicate with his people here on earth. And we often do that, of course, in prayer. And normally we would have someone say some prayers for us, but today we're going to do that a bit differently. Today I'm going to introduce some topics and then allow some space for you to pray wherever you are right now. Pray quietly to yourself, pray out loud. If you're with someone else, pray together. If you need more time, pause the video. But let's come before our God in prayer, because we know prayer works. Let's pray. So Lord, we come before you with our petitions, with our prayers, and we pray in simple words, because we know that you said to not babble on, but actually to simply communicate with you. And so right now, Lord, wherever we are, we pray and thank you for the things that we are grateful for. We pray for the world, and the countries around the world, and the people around the world. We pray for our own country. We pray for the areas in which we live. We pray for God's kingdom to come and for the people that you would like to know Jesus. We pray for those who need God's healing, who need his peace. And we pray for ourselves. Pray for what's on our hearts right now. And we bring these prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, as we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We now sing a hymn brought to us from the Central Church of England, a hymn to the glory of Jesus our Lord. So don't forget to go to the website or to get in touch if you have any questions at all. If you have any questions about what's been said today on the service, get in touch with me. Or if you want to join us for the Thy Kingdom Come prayer, for the Alpha discussion group on a Wednesday night. Or if you have any prayer requests, then get in touch with us. In fact, if you need any help at all, just get in touch with us. We want to be God's family here in Hampshire. We want to be part of his kingdom coming here in Hampshire. So don't be on your own. I hope that you've enjoyed today, and I pray that you'll have a wonderful week. But as we finish, let me say a prayer, a blessing upon you. God, the Holy Spirit, who filled the disciples with the life of the risen Lord, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. And as we finish, I'm going to play out the hymn that was specially produced for this year's Thy Kingdom Come. Have a fantastic week.
Thy kingdom come, Lord, teach us how to pray, for all to know your joy, your peace and love, and know your friendship each and every day. The breath of Christ the Father, so God, thy kingdom come, and Christ spread. lives laid down in mercy, truth and care. Nations renewed in giving thanks and praise, to see God's kingdom come. This is our prayer. Thy kingdom come.